Good morning. Thank you for having me here this morning. I'm excited to share about this topic. It's not, Sorry, I should have given you more time to get ready. Sorry.
今天早上很开心能够来到国语堂跟大家分享神的话语。
My name is Pastor Joe. For those of you guys who haven't met me yet, I'm the youth and family pastor at this church.
我是 Joe 牧师，我是这里青少年团契堂会的青少年堂会的牧师。
So I've been here since last October, so a little less than a year, but I've really enjoyed my role here.
我是去年十月份开始的，虽然好像少于一年的时间，可是我真的很喜欢这里。
Yeah. I noticed that in this congregation, it seems like there's more young folks here, right?
我发现我们的堂会，我们的国语堂会好像很多年轻人。
Yes, okay. So I'm curious, how many of you are actually parents?
所以我有好奇，到底你们哪一些是父母
？Okay, there's a good number. Okay, good. Okay,
okay. 很多。
So this morning, I'm going to start with a story.About parenting that I am not proud of.
今天早上呢，我一开始要跟各位分享一个我自己其实不是感觉很骄傲的一种教养儿女的方式。
But hopefully it's a story you can relate to, and maybe it'll make you actually feel a little better.
我的故事可能会让你觉得好像跟你好像有产生关联，然后所以你会听进去。
So both my kids, they were in elementary school, and I was giving them a ride to school.
那我的两个孩子呢，都在上小学。那么我开车送他们上学。
They were both in the back seat, and they were enjoying each other's company.
他们都在后座坐着，然后非常享受彼此的陪伴。
They were so excited, and they started yelling.
那他们非常兴奋，然后开始大吼大叫了。
So I calmly asked them. I said, "Hey, can you guys quiet down, please? You guys."Don't yell in the car.
然后我很平静地告诉他们说，请你们不要在车里面大喊大叫。
So they listened for 30 seconds.
他们听了30秒，安静了30秒。
And then they were loud again.
然后他们又开始很吵了。
So I was a little bit more stern this time, and I asked them, boys, you need to keep it down.
那这一次呢，我用了比较稍微严厉一点的声音，要求他们不要在车里面大吵大叫。
So they listened for another 30 seconds, and then they were loud again.
一样的，他们安静了三十秒钟，然后又开始变得很吵了。
So this time I got really upset.
这一次呢，我真的很不高兴。
I started yelling and screaming.
然后我开始对他们大吼大叫了。
I told you to stop yelling.
我告诉你，叫你们不要吵。
And I said, and then, you know, I asked them, you know, why they weren't listening to me. You know this phrase, how many times do I have to tell you, dot, 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 right?
Yeah, 我相信你大家都很清楚这样子的一个对话。要有多少次我告诉你不要这样。
Yeah. And I yelled at them for not respecting my wishes and being obnoxious in the car.
那我对他们吼叫呢，其实并没有说好像是因为让我自己变得很厌恶了。
So I was yelling, do you think other people want to hear you yelling in a car?
我是那个人在车里面大吼大叫，你觉得有人喜欢在车里面听大吼大叫吗？
So, they were dead silent.
我两个孩子就像死一样的很沉默。
Probably a little scared.
大概很害怕。
I had intimidated them into submission.
我用恐吓他们的方式让他们屈服。
So even though they were quiet now, is this a good parenting style?
即使他们现在很安静了，可是这是一个好的教养儿女的方式吗？
I control their behavior, right?
Well, 至少我控制他们的行为。
Now, what if this becomes the way I parent over the long run?
如果这是成为我长期教养儿女的一种方式。
Through yelling and anger and intimidation.
透过大吼大叫、愤怒和恐吓
，I might control them now, but at what cost?
我也许在当下我可以控制他们，可是所付出的代价又是什么呢
？And when they get older, what might happen?
等他们长大了，他们会发生什么事吗
？Do you see the irony in the situation? I heard some of you laughing, right?
Yeah, 我想你可以听到这个，我在举这个故事的这个讽刺在哪里。我听到刚刚有弟兄姐妹一起笑。
So I wanted them to control themselves, but who was the most out of control that morning?
我希望让我的孩子控制他们自己，可是，在那天早上，谁最失控？
I couldn't control my own emotions.
我没有办法控制我自己的情绪。
I wanted them to stop yelling, but who was yelling the loudest that morning?
我希望他们停止大吼大叫，可是那天早上谁喊得最大声？
I wanted them to be more mature, but who was the immature one that morning?
我希望他们能够更成熟一点，可是此刻谁又是最不成熟呢？
This story is hopefully a good illustration of a truth and also about the challenges of parenting.
我希望这个故事呢，可以说明一个父母养育子女所面临的一个挑战。
When it comes to parenting, our focus should not be on controlling our kids at all cost.
在我们教养子女的时候，我们主要的重点不应该是不惜一切代价控制我们的孩子。
Parenting is really about controlling ourselves.
其实教养儿女最重要的就是要控制自己。
Our main focus in parenting is controlling our emotions, our reactions, our behaviors.
其实我们养育孩子的最主要的重点是要控制我们自己的情绪，我们的反应和行为。
It's important for us to learn how to parent in a calm way.
用一个平静的方式去教养子女，其实是我们要看到的。
We need to parent with kindness and with warmth, but also with firm boundaries.
我们做父母的要用一种温暖的、一种善良的、和善的，但是呢，也是有一个坚定、划清界限的一个方式来教养儿女。
And when we have those boundaries and those relationships together, then we have the greatest influence in our child's lives.
所以，当我们有一个清楚的界限，然后再加上与孩子的关系，那么就会带给我们孩子很大的影响。
So, we've already read those two verses, right, in Colossians and Ephesians?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Can you go ahead and read those two verses?
好，我们一起读圣经。圣经在哥罗西书三章二十一节的地方。好，我们一起来。你们做父亲的，不要惹自己儿女生气，免得他们灰心丧志。好，第二节经文呢，是在以弗所书六章四节。我们一起来念，一起。你们做父亲的，不要惹自己儿女生气，而要照着主的训练和警戒养育他们。
Let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Father, your command here is very simple.
主啊，你的命令在这里非常简单。
Not to embitter or provoke our children to anger.
不要激起我们孩子的怒气。
And as simple as this command is, it's actually very hard to live out.
即使这是一个这么简单的命令，可是有的时候很困难去实现。
So Father, I just pray that you would give us wisdom this morning.
主啊，在今天早上，我求你给我们智慧。
As we think about how we parent,And as we evaluate how we relate to our children,
当我们在学习如何做好的父母来教养儿女的时候，我们也去反思我们跟孩子的关系。
Father, I pray that you would also give us the strength to live out what your word teaches.
主啊，也给我们力量，怎么去活出主你所教导我们的话语。
In Jesus' name, we pray.
奉主耶稣基督的名求，阿门。
So a few months ago, I was giving a little parenting workshop at one of our meetings with the parents of the youth group.
在几个月之前呢，我刚好跟这个青少年的家长呢有一个这个会议。
And I gave them this analogy. I said there are, you know, when you make a good teriyaki sauce, there's two main ingredients.
那我是用这个例子来跟他们解释说。如果我们今天要制作一个照烧酱的话，那我们需要两个很重要的成分。
So anyone in here, what are the two main ingredients for a good teri sauce?
是什么两个成分是什么才可以做很好的照烧酱
？Sugar, yes. And soy sauce, right? Okay,
是,
good.
酱油和糖
right? And it's almost, it's one part soy sauce, one part sugar, right?
它是一份的酱油跟一份的糖
right? So you need a lot to make a good, you know, teri sauce.
你需要他们来做好的照烧酱。
Well, I think there's two main ingredients in parenting, and that's boundaries and relationships.
那在我们如何教养儿女方面呢？我们也有两个很重要的成分，就是界限，和关系。
Boundaries are the rules, the way we instruct our kids, the way we discipline them.
那界限呢，就是我们用来做父母的规则，怎么去教导他们和管教他们。
And the relationship is the level of warmth and empathy and positive communication in that relationship.
那么关系呢，就是一种温暖，一种同理心和正面积极的沟通。
And just like a good teriyaki sauce, you need a balance of both.
就像一个好的照烧酱，你需要两者之间的良好平衡。
Strong relationship, but poor boundaries means you'll probably spoil your child.
如果你有很强的关系，可是你没有清楚的界限，你其实是会把孩子宠坏了。
And you have really strict boundaries, but you don't have a good relationship with your child. It can hurt them, or it could even cause them to rebel.
那如果说你有很强烈的这种划清界限，可是你跟孩子却没有关系，是会伤害孩子，甚至让孩子到一个叛逆的程度。
And of course, no boundaries and no relationship, you're neglecting your child.
当然，如果你跟孩子没有关系，也没有很清楚的界限，你就是忽略了孩子。
So there are many verses in scripture about parenting.
其实在圣经中有很多关于教养儿女的经文。
And the ones that we usually hear about or talk about are about boundaries.
我们比较经常听到的或讨论的呢，就是有关于界限。
This morning, I want us to actually focus on relationship.
那今天早上我的着重的焦点会放在关系上。
Because a lot of parents, they put so much focus on boundaries, but very little attention to building strong relationships.
因为有很多的父母呢，非常注意怎么去划清界限，却很少努力去建立一个好的关系。
They think strong relationships will be automatic, or maybe it's unimportant to my child's development.
因为他们认为说，反正这个牢固的这个关系呢，自然而然自动会发生的，或甚至在他们的发展过程当中是不重要的。
This is not true. It is usually the biggest mistake I see parents make.
其实这不是真的。那这通常也是我看到父母犯的最大的错误。
We need to put just as much effort in building strong relationships as we do boundaries.
我们一样要花我们的这个的精力时间去建立好的关系，就像我们去好着重于划清界限一般。
There are actually very few verses in the New Testament that speak directly about parenting.
其实，在新约圣经里面呢，比较没有那么多的经文直接谈论到怎么样教养父母，怎样教养子女。
But in these two New Testament passages, the focus is on relationship.
但是在这两节经文，刚我们读的这两节经文，却是着重于在如何跟儿女建立关系。
Do not embitter your child.
不要惹自己儿女生气。
Do not exasperate your child.
不要惹他们的气。
Parents are called to protect and preserve the relationship with their children.
父母其实是被要求来保护他们的孩子，并且维护他们与孩子的关系。
If we embitter them, they may become discouraged.
如果说我们一直惹他们的气，激起他们的愤怒，会让他们灰心丧志。
We need to pursue the relationship just as much as the boundaries.
我们要建立这个关系，就像我们要去建立界限一般。
Now, I'm going to show you a video that's based on a lot of research.
我要跟你分享一个视频，这个视频其实是根据很多研究结果出来的结论。
And this video talks about like those two ingredients to parenting.
这个视频呢，就讲到刚刚我们说的教养儿女的两个主要成分。
And they believe that depending on where your boundaries are or your relationship is, your parenting style can fit into five different categories.
它是根据你跟孩子的关系，或是你跟孩子所划定的这个界限呢，就会看你在哪一个程度呢，就结论到有五种不同的父母教养孩子的方式。
So I want to recognize that that most of the research is done in Western families.
那我当然要强调的是说，大部分的研究是做在西方的家庭。
So maybe some Chinese families don't necessarily fit neatly in these categories.
有可能我们中国的家庭没有办法完全好像归类在哪一类。
But there's actually a lot of cross-culture studies that show that a lot of these principles in these parenting styles are still very true.
但是那边有很多跨文化的研究，然后这个跨文化的研究当中也是说这五种这个育儿方式呢，其实是真的是有效的。
And many of the benefits or even problems with these parenting styles cross to different cultures.
那这种育儿方式的好处和它所带来的一些，或是说带来的问题呢，其实是跨文化的。
We're not going to talk about all five of them.
我们今天没有办法去讨论整个五个不同的育儿方式。
But I think it's important for us to be familiar with them.
但是我想我们要试着去熟悉他们。
But today we're going to talk about the difference between authoritarian parenting and authoritative parenting.
那今天我们的重点会放在所谓的独裁威权主义的父母教养孩子方式和所谓的权威性的父母教养孩子方式。
Can we play the video? I think you might. Yeah, there.
In theory, there are only four styles of parenting. Authoritarian parents are controlling and demand obedience without considering the child's point of view. Permissive parents are loving but don't exert any control. There are no rules.Authoritative parents are firm but loving. They encourage independence within limits. Neglecting parents are uninvolved and often uninterested in their own child. Recently, a fifth style was proposed, but we will come back to that later. The styles range from controlling and demanding to complete freedom, and from cold and unresponsive to loving and receptive.Each authoritative, permissive, authoritarian, and neglectful parents have their place. To understand what it means to grow up with parents from each end of the spectrum, we can imagine the lives of four children. Sarah's parents are authoritarian. They love their girl, but they believe that strict rules are important to make Sarah become well-behaved and fit into society.If Sarah cries, she's told to stop. If she talks back, she is sent to the corner for time out. If she forgets to take care of her chores around the house, she is not allowed to play with her toys. Sarah learns that suppressing her emotions and following her duties is the way to get through the day. To get the love of her parents and to avoid making them upset, she becomes obedient.However, because Sarah was never allowed to decide for herself or follow her intrinsic interests, as an adult, she doesn't know what she really wants. She begins living a life that seems perfect to her parents and society, but might leave her unhappy on the inside. Permissive parents, like those of Peter, enjoy their little boy so much that they believe they should fulfill all his wishes.Give him full freedom and never say no. Peter enjoys full control over his parents and gets whatever he wants. If he doesn't want to walk, he'll be carried. If he wants ice cream he gets. If he wants to play games, he'll be playing them all night. Peter grows up completely without borders and does whatever he thinks is right.He never coped with conflict, and he did not learn to control his emotions. The fact that he always got what he wanted made him a bad loser. As he grows older, he often acts inconsiderate and doesn't know his limits. Arthur's authoritative parents respect their child's needs, but believe that kids need freedom within certain limits. Arthur can freely play, but when he's done, he needs to help tidy up. He is allowed to eat ice cream, but only on Sundays. Screen time is limited to 30 minutes a day. There may be conflict, but the parents listen to what Arthur has to say and then lay down the rules. Arthur learns that some things are difficult, but his parents give him all the support he needs to get through it. He develops the strength to endure hardships and to continue following his interests and passions. In class, he bravely expresses his own opinions in an appropriate manner. During breaks, he can show his emotions and act freely. As an adult, he agrees to rules only after they have been discussed and he feels like he understands them. Neglectful parents are usually not present in their children's life. Nora often feels completely alone in the world. She experiences full freedom to do anything she wants to and has plenty of imagination, but she never receives any feedback or even attention. Nora realizes that it doesn't matter what she does because no one cares anyway. The lack of attention leads to a lack of trust in herself and others. She becomes insecurely attached, unable to form healthy relationships, and develops a negative image of herself. To stop feeling unworthy of love, she tries not to feel anything at all. In recent years, over-involved parents, who are present in every aspect of their child's life, are often referred to as the fifth style. These parents are also known as snowplows, removing obstacles out of their kids' path, or helicopter parents, who hover about and micromanage every aspect of their child's life. Since they won't let their children do anything alone, the children can't learn to overcome challenges by themselves. Research infers that these children don't like to solve difficult problems, lack perseverance, and may even procrastinate in protest when something requires a lot of effort.
So, So over the last several years of youth ministry, I would say that authoritarian parenting styles are kind of, I see that a lot.
在过去这么多年的青少年事工当中, 我看到最多的育儿方式就是独裁威权主义的形式。
And this style actually was popularized by a book, and they called it tiger parenting. Have you heard of that?
其实这种方式其实现在非常的普遍, 然后很多书在写, 就叫虎爸虎妈。 你们听过吗?
Yeah, very, very high boundaries, very strict rules, harsh discipline, but low relationship.
这是一个高度的划清界限，然后非常严格的规则，然后非常严格的纪律管教，但是呢，它的关系很低的。
And sometimes there's a lot of yelling or intimidation, threats, and there's a lot of power struggle.
在这里呢，就经常看到是父母那种。 大吼大叫啊，恐吓啊，威胁啊，甚至有权力的斗争的一种育儿方式。
They control their child without considering their viewpoints.
他们控制孩子，却没有想到从孩子的立场来想事情。
There's no discussion.
没有讨论。
They aren't allowed to have any other point of view.
孩子不被允许有不同的意见。
It's just control.
就只是控制他们。
Now, this video only mentioned one result where the child actually becomes very obedient.
那在我们视频里面，他只讲了一个结果， 那就是这个孩子会变得非常听话，非常的服从。
Which might seem great, but what they find is that when they become older, they find out that they do not make decisions for themselves.
好像看起来孩子很服从、很听话，好像表面上很好。可是当他们长大以后呢，这些孩子从来不知道怎么自己为自己做决定。They
actually, there's research showing that a lot of them don't know how to stand up for themselves, and they get bullied.
那其实研究说呢，这种教育方式的孩子呢，很多时候不知道怎么样站出来为自己发声，特别是当他们面对这种霸凌的时候。
Some people say it's kind of like trying to program a robot.
那有的人说，这种的教养方式就很像是用程式来写一个机器人。
There's actually another common result from authoritarian parenting.
在这种独裁威权的这种教养方式之下，还有另外一个结果。
It's actually well researched, but it wasn't mentioned in this video.
其实有很多的研究已经说了，只是没有在这视频当中被提到。
Not every child becomes obedient. Oftentimes, they actually rebel.
不是所有的孩子都愿意顺从，很多时候他们变成叛逆。
And when they become adults, they get as far away from their parents as they can.
当他们成长之后呢，他们会试图离他们的父母越远越好。
And if you think about this style, you only give your child two choices.
想到这种教养儿女的方式，其实你这种父母只给孩子两个选择。
They obey you out of fear and turn into robots.
他们服从父母，因为怕会被处罚或生气，然后变成一个机器人一样。
Or they try to be themselves or a little more independent. They're automatically rebellious.
或是他想要发展自己的个性，还要想要自己独立，那么他们就变成叛逆。
I've seen some students.They rebel when they're young still.
我看到有些学生呢，他们在小的时候就已经开始有反抗叛逆。
But other times I see them when they graduate from home, they go to college and they just go crazy.
那我看到这种孩子呢，好像在家里面很服从，可是等他们长大了，然后去上大学了，然后还开始好像自由了，在大学里面变得很疯狂。
So one of the phrases that I often use for myself and also when I encourage parents about parenting. There's this phrase I use.
那有一个片语是我经常会跟父母们分享的。
Rules without relationship equals rebellion.
没有关系的规则呢，就是等于是叛逆。
Now, on the flip side, there's a parenting style that they call authoritative.
那另外一个层面的父母教养子女的方式呢，就是所谓的权威性的。
This is strong relationship, but also firm boundaries.
是一个很强烈的关系，牢固的关系，但是也是有很清楚的界限。
And research has shown that they actually do better when it comes to their mental health.
很多的研究，事实上呢，发现就是说，这种教养的方式对孩子们以后的心理健康其实是很好的。
They actually even do better academically.
甚至他们有更好的学业成就。
And they have higher family loyalty.
然后对家庭呢有很好的更高的忠诚度。
And I know those are big values, like important values to a lot of Chinese families.
其实对我们中国的家庭来说，这些都是一个很重要的价值观。
So let's think about how we can guard ourselves.From hurting the relationship.
那我们就要考虑到，就是说，怎么样能够保护我们的这个跟孩子的关系。
And what we said at the very beginning was, let's focus on controlling ourselves.
在一开始的时候，我就跟大家分享，就是怎么样能够着重于如何控制自己。
I think our biggest enemy is emotional reactivity.
其实我们最大的敌人就是我们自己的情绪。
This is when we have a hard time controlling our own anger.
这个就是当我们很没有办法去控制我们愤怒的时候。
We respond by yelling and threatening, intimidating our kids into submission.
这个时候我们可能会透过大吼大叫、威胁，甚至恐吓孩子们，让他们来屈服你。
We need to learn how to parent without yelling.
我们必须要学会父母的教养方式是不要用大喊大叫的方式去教养。
I've said this to parents before, and they always look at me like, then how do I control my kid?
那我常常跟这个其他的父母在分享这个时候，很多父母的回应是说，那我要怎么去控制我的孩子呢？
I share that because I know that it's hard, and the easy thing is to parent by yelling.
我特别要讲的原因是因为对父母而言的话，好像大吼大叫是比较容易去解决问题的方法。
We need to learn how to discipline them calmly.
我们必须学习如何能够冷静地去管教他们。
So one of the things that yelling communicates is that it is their job to control your feelings.
事实上呢，大吼大叫呢，用这种方式是表明说，是你的孩子在控制你的情绪。
But we know that really, it shouldn't. Nobody else should control our feelings. We should control our feelings.
我们其实都知道说，控制我们自己情绪的应该是我们自己，而不是其他人。
I'm not saying that you can't get angry, but how do you respond with your anger?
那我并不是说你不能生气，而是说我们如何，我们在生气的时候，我们如何反应。
If you control your children by yelling, what do they learn about the rules that you're trying to put in their life?
如果说你是用大吼大叫的方式来控制你的孩子，那又如何能够把规则放在你的孩子的学习当中？
They don't obey because the boundaries are good for them.
他们不会去服从你，是因为好像你给他设定了一个界限。
They obey because they're afraid of your reaction.
他们服从你是因为他们怕你，所以他怕你会生气的反应。
And then when you discipline, they view it as revenge.
所以当你去管教他们的时候呢，孩子们却认为你是在报复他们。
Instead of seeing discipline as like consequences to be learned, lessons to be learned, they think that you're just getting back at them because you're angry.
其实呢，我们管教孩子呢，是希望让孩子学习到，当他们行为有偏差的时候的那个后果，就是他们学孩子要学功课。但是如果我们是用这样子的方式去管教孩子的时候，与其是将这个后果成为他们吸取的教训，反而让他们觉得是说，我的父母管教我是因为我惹他生气，惹他们生气，所以我们的父母要报复我。
In the Proverbs, it says that discipline is a rescue mission.
在这个圣经里面就讲到，就是说特别是箴言书里面提到，管教是一个救援的任务。
Discipline is an act of love.
管教呢是一个爱的行动。
But discipline born out of anger is usually viewed as vengeance and not love.
但是如果是出于愤怒的管教，就会被看作是复仇，是报复，而不是爱。
No child likes discipline.
没有孩子喜欢被管教。
But when you learn to discipline them calmly, they are more likely to understand the reasons behind your consequences.
如果说做父母的能够冷静的去管教孩子，孩子们就可能就会理解到，就是说你设定这个规定规则的这个原因，还有如果他们不遵守规则所带来的后果。
The other thing that yelling often does is it loses trust.
另外呢，就是说当我们大吼大叫的时候呢，会让孩子对我们失去信心、信任。
They don't believe that you're parenting for their good.
他们不再相信说你的管教方式是为他们好。
And then when you lose trust, you lose influence.
当你失去孩子的信任时，你就会失去对孩子的影响力。
And they may rebel.
他们可能会叛逆。
But here's the thing, when we learn to calm down, your child learns to calm down.
事实上呢，当我们学习自己冷静下来的时候，你的孩子也会跟着冷静下来。
When a teenager says something rude or disrespectful, it's easy to get angry and to start yelling.
当特别是青春期的孩子呢，当他们说一些很粗鲁的话、很不尊重人的话的时候，就很容易让我们生气，我们就开始大吼大叫。
And then we become rude and disrespectful.
当我们大吼大叫的时候，反而是我们变成粗鲁和不尊重。
I have found that when I talk to my child warmly as I can, and I do not escalate, it always turns out better.
我自己发现就是说，当我用这种温暖去和孩子交谈的时候，而且让自己知道说我不会让我自己的情绪升级的时候，反而会带来更好的结果。
If my wife and I get angrier, my kids get angrier.
当我跟我太太生气的时候呢，我的孩子也跟着一起生气。
But if I stay calm, they are more likely not to become defensive and more willing to listen.
当我冷静的时候呢，我的孩子呢就不会变成那么样的防卫心那么强，然后他就愿意去听。
And when you calm down, they are more likely to trust you.
当你冷静下的时候，你的孩子会更相信你。
They're more likely to understand your decisions.
他们会更相信你的判断。
And if you have their trust, you still have your influence.
当你有这个信任感还存在的时候，你就有那个影响力。
So what does this look like?
所以这个会像什么呢？
I'll give you a couple stories.
我给你两个故事。
The first is of a mother of a four-year-old.
那第一个故事呢，就是一个妈妈跟一个四岁的小孩。
In the morning, she's trying to get her child to school, but she has to dress him and give him breakfast.
那早上呢，这个妈妈就要帮这个四岁的孩子准备他上学，就把他的衣服穿好，吃好早餐。
But the mornings are filled with screaming and begging to get her child to do what she wants.
好像每天早上这个妈妈都必须用这种好像求的方式或是用尖叫大吼大叫的方式让她的孩子能够准备好去上学。
And do any parents here remember what it's like to try to put a child into a car seat that doesn't want to be in there? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
你们有没有这个经验，就是你曾经怎么样能够把你的孩子把他放到这个汽车里面，坐到那个汽车的座位上？
They do like the starfish thing, you know? They like plank up.
他们基本上就是好像不愿意然后给你挣扎。
It's hard, right?
很难哈。
Well, so she decided that she would not deal with the situation through yelling anymore.
那这个妈妈呢就决定说，我不要再这样子做了，我不要再用这种大吼大叫的方式让我的孩子坐到汽车里。
She woke up a little earlier just to collect herself to make sure that she would stay calm.
那她这天呢，他比较起床的比较早，所以让他自己能够聚焦，然后自己能够平静。
When she woke up her son, she woke him up gently, and he may have been surprised by that, but he actually got dressed and ate without a fuss.
他就是很温柔的把他的孩子叫醒了。那你可能会很惊讶，就是这个孩子竟然毫不费力的就穿好了衣服，也吃了早餐。
So she knew that.The hard part was getting him in the car.
那妈妈知道说要让我的孩子坐到车子的这个座位上面是最难的。
So she told her son, she said, "We are leaving in 10 minutes."
所以她跟她儿子说，我们十分钟之后要离开。
We are leaving no matter what.
我们不管怎么样，我们十分钟之后一定要离开。
But you have a choice here.
你有选择。
You can either get into the car the easy way or the hard way.
你可以选择用简单的方式上车，还是用难的方式上车。
So he asked, he said, like, what's the easy way?
所以这儿子就问妈妈说，那什么是简单的方式呢？
She said, I will hold your hand, and we will walk to the car together, and you'll get into your car seat by yourself.
妈妈就说呢，我会牵着你的手，然后我们一起走到车子，然后你会坐进车子里，然后去学校。
And on the way to school, you get to listen to your favorite songs.
然后去学校路上，你可以选你喜欢听的音乐，喜欢听的歌。
And then he asked, what's the hard way?
然后儿子就问妈妈说，那么难的方式是什么呢？
And she told him, she said, you will fight me, but I won't get mad and I won't scream.
那妈妈跟儿子说，你呢会跟我战斗，但是呢我不会生气或是尖叫。
But I'm going to have to drag you there and wrestle you into the car seat.
但是我必须要把你给拖到汽车的这个座椅上。
And we'll listen to the Beatles all the way to school.
那我们开车去学校的时候，我们听披头士的音乐。
And she did this very calmly and actually very warmly.
那她跟着儿子在妈妈跟儿子说话的时候是非常的冷静平静，然后也是非常的充满的爱和温暖。
Can you guess which way he picked?
你可不可以猜这个儿子选了什么方法？
He actually picked the hard way.
他儿子事实上决定选了难的方式。
Okay. He said, "Mama, I'm gonna pick the hard way." She said, "Okay, okay, honey, then get ready for the hard way."
所以他跟那个妈妈说，妈妈，我决定要选择难的方法。然后呢，妈妈也是很平静说 ，Okay, 好，那么我们准备好了。
And so he laid down on the ground, and he said, "Okay, mommy, I'm ready for the hard way."
然后这个儿子呢就故意就是趴在这个地上，然后就跟妈妈说，哎，好了妈妈，我已经准备好迎接男的方式了。
So she knew that he was kind of joking when he said this.
那妈妈知道说这个儿子其实在开玩笑。
So she tickled him.
所以他就撩撩他的痒。
And then they walked to the car holding hands.
然后他们手牵着手走到车子。
And he got into the car seat by himself.
他自己坐进了这个车子里面的座位。
Okay, now I'm not saying this will always happen perfectly, right?
当然 我知道这个不是总是那么完美的发生的。
But I think this gives us a picture of a different way to parent.
但是这可以给我们一个影像，是不同父母教养儿子的方式。
A strong relationship increases your influence.
一个很牢固的关系呢，会增强你的影响力。
Now here's the same story for a teenager.
这边是有另外一个故事呢，是有关一个青少年。
Mom is always yelling at her teenage daughter to get ready in time for her to leave for work.
妈妈总是会对她的这个青春期的这个女儿呢大吼大叫的然后她因为她准备去上班。
So instead of yelling at her, she told her daughter, "I'm leaving for work at this time, and I'm leaving whether you're ready or not."
她这次没有大吼大叫，她直接告诉她的女儿说，不管你准备好了还是你没有准备好，反正我就在这个时候我都必须要去上班。
The daughter probably didn't believe her because she chose to be late.
那这个女儿大概不太相信她妈妈，所以她选择要迟到。
So mom was not mean or nasty, didn't yell.
妈妈是非常冷静，她没有说大吼大叫，很歇斯底里啊，这些都没有。
But she told her, "You have to walk to school by yourself," and she left.
然后妈妈就跟女儿说，你自己要走路到学校，所以妈妈离开去工作了。
I forgot to mention that she made that consequence clear before that happened.
我刚刚忘了说，妈妈呢其实把这个后果讲得跟着女儿讲得很清楚。
Okay, now this was not as cute as the other story.
那这个故事可能没有像刚刚那个四岁的故事那么的可爱。
And the daughter was not as happy about it.
当然女儿不是那么开心。
But she learned to get ready for school on time.
但是她学习到是怎么样能够准备好在准时的时间上学。
And of course, when we create consequences, we need to make sure they are appropriate ones.
当然我们也必须知道，当我们去把这个后果，把这个期望讲出来的时候，我们必须要知道。
They need to be consequences that we will actually follow through with.
我们要知道说这个后果是我们真正可以去执行的。
But if you notice in these stories, the parents stayed calm.
那我们学到的故事就是我们父母要保持冷静。
They made their expectations and the consequences very clear.
然后把这个行为的后果也讲得非常清楚。
And they let their child face the consequences of their decisions.
然后呢，让这个孩子为他们自己所做的决定所带来的后果，他能够去面对。
They let the consequences do the screaming for them.
父母让这个后果对他们的自己的孩子去尖叫。
And I have found with my teenage son that staying calm makes all the difference in the world.
那我自己在面对我青少年的青春期的儿子的时候呢，我发现保持冷静呢，真的是可以改变很多。
And we kind of skipped through a lot of this stuff. But I'll focus on one thing to help us build stronger relationships with our children.
我会着重于如何能够建立牢固的跟我们的孩子建立牢固的关系。
I think the biggest thing we can learn is to listen to them.
我觉得最大的功课我们学习的最大学习功课就是去倾听。
Yes, we need to instruct them, but there needs to be times when we just listen without lecturing them.
是的，我们需要给他们指导教导，可是呢，我们要也有时候是我们要学习倾听，而不是去说教。
If every time they share something that makes you nervous and you start lecturing them, they'll stop sharing with you.
那如果他们在跟你分享的时候呢，那你突然间觉得好像有点紧张，然后你就开始说教了，然后他们就会停止跟你分享了。
Get to know your child.
了解你的孩子。
Try to understand what they're going through.
试着去理解他们正在经历到了什么事。
There's a resource that I'd like to just draw to your attention.
这边有一个资源呢，我希望能够跟大家分享。
And you can take a look at this book afterwards. I only have one copy, and I already promised to lend it to somebody after service.
那我现在手上拿这本书，等一下你们可以来看一下。这本书，但是呢，我只有这一本书，我你们答应要借给另外一个人了。
They sell it at Fuller Institute. You can find it online. But this book is about helping you develop good conversations with your kids and understanding them.
那这本书呢，在 Fuller 网上都可以买得到，富勒神学院那个网上都可以买得到。那这本书就是教导我们如何能够跟孩子对话。
What I like about it is that it gives you.Questions to ask your kids so that you can learn how to listen to them and understand them.
我很喜欢就是说是他有些问有一些问问题来问我自己，要我怎么样能够学习去倾听孩子。
Now I'll give you an example for my own son.
我给你一个我跟我儿子之间的例子。
I made a commitment that when they were really young, I would listen to them no matter what. I would try to listen to them if they were going to talk to me.
那 我在他们很小的时候，我就有这样的一个允诺，就是我会试着去聆听他们。
And that was easy when they were little kids because they were really cute.
那这个在他们小的时候是蛮简单去执行的，因为他们真的好可爱。
But when they became junior hires, it actually became harder to listen to them.
那当他们进入到中学到 青少年青春期的时候，就开始变得很困难去听他们了。
They would talk to me about these video games and like cartoons or things that they watched that I could care less about.
那他们跟我讲就是有关于这些的线上的就是那个游戏啊他们在玩什么东西啊，那对我来讲这个根本都是无关紧要不重要的事情。
But I committed to if they think it's important to share, then I'm going to do my best to listen.
但是呢，我已经有下一个这样子的一个允诺，就是不管怎么样，他们愿意跟我说什么，我就愿意去聆听。
So I'm still in the middle of parenting teens.
那我还是在这个在这个父母如何教育子女的这个团队当中。
I'm very thankful that when I pick up my son, my oldest son from high school, and I ask him how his day is, he'll talk to me.
那我觉得我很感恩的是，我去接孩子，就特别是我念中学的孩子儿子去放学的时候，我的儿子还是愿意跟我谈。
He'll tell me about his whole day.
要问他今天怎么样，他会告诉我他整天发生什么事。
And if my wife and I pry a little bit, sometimes he'll tell us who he thinks is which girl he thinks is cute.
那我跟我太太有的时候还觉得蛮骄傲的，就是说他会跟他讲这些事情。
And his friends tell him, you never tell your parents stuff like that.
特别他讲到那个女孩子的事情，然后他的朋友告诉我的儿子说，你不可以把这个事情跟你的父母说。
But I really believe that learning to listen gives us influence in their life.
但是我强烈的相信说，我们学习如何去聆听，会在孩子的生命当中带来很大的影响。
And I think if we continue to listen well, they'll keep sharing.
那我相信只要我们不断地去聆听，我们的孩子就会不断地愿意跟我们分享。
Let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Father, thank you for this simple command to just protect our relationship with our children.
主，谢谢你，就这样一个简单的命令，但是你是帮助我们怎么去保护我们跟孩子的关系。
And Lord, we know that it's hard to control ourselves sometimes.
主啊，我们知道有的时候控制我们自己是真的很难。
In those moments, I pray that you remind us that we have a loving Heavenly Father.
主啊，请你不断提醒我们，我们有一个爱我们在天上的父。
Who is always patient with us and full of grace.
在我们爱的天父呢，一直爱我们，然后给我们恩典，然后很多的耐心。
And I pray that as we experience that grace each day, that we will learn to give that grace to our children each day.
我们学习从主你那里来的每天的恩典，我们也学习把主你给我们的恩典给我们的孩子。
Thank you. We pray these things in your son's name.
谢谢主，我们祷告感谢奉主耶稣基督名求。
Amen.
Amen.